Judges, I don't really know how to deal with this today as much as we're just going to just read, probably more than anything today. So kids, pay really close, because we're just going to read the story of Samson today. It's been interesting for me to go back and just kind of highlight all these things in the Old Testament. We're looking at what's in there for us. And it's going to be different things for different people. So I don't have anything specific to tell you. But I got to slow down and do Samson. We're just going to read the story of Samson, because there are some commenting places in there that are just, they have to be commented on. They're interesting. They're amazing. And it's not to us, but this certainly is there for us. Matter of fact, Samson was one of the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 up there, so that's an interesting aspect of it all. But before we do that, I want you to look at chapter 12, verse 3. Just two little quick things here. Things that we see. You know, I've got a couple books, if anybody's interested at all, in the sayings that we all have today, all the sayings that we say. And I got two books of those things. It's amazing. If you knew what they were, you could tell somebody, well, look at this, that. You just said something that's in the King James Bible. Get them kind of stymied on that thing. One of them is in verse 3 there. Put your life in your hands. Sometimes you get in the car with somebody and you're putting your putting your life in their hands, or you go off by yourself someplace and you're just putting your life in your own hands. But just a phrase right there. Put my life in my hands. Verse 3. And when I saw that he delivered me not, I put my life in my hands. And lots of times, that's what we see our kids do, isn't it? They just get out there and they just want to take over for a while. Put their life in their hands. And as I talked with a few guys yesterday, finally one of them is starting to see it, that that is true. God is not going to stop you from doing something. If you want to go off and do it, you go right ahead and go do it. He's not going to stop you. You're just going to someday look back at him and go, why'd you let me do that? And you're just going to say, he's just going to say, because you just wanted to do that. And you took your life, put it in your own hands. And, you know, anyway. So you see, I can take some Old Testament things and you can preach them and you can show them how they have some application. But it's still, it's one of those things where you have to understand that. Because if you say it's going to be all to you, or some of it's to you, you've got some Old Testament theology being applied to us today that is not real. And I'll show you before the day's over here this morning anyway what is going on in that department. Look down at verse 6. This is the one comment I wanted to make. I'm not talking about anybody here specifically. I'm just talking in general towards homeschooling, especially homeschooling. And there's that phrase on verse 6. Then they say unto him, say now Shibboleth, or however you're going to say it. And he said, Shibboleth. For he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him. they figured out that this guy couldn't say, the way he spoke that word, it wasn't their lingo or it wasn't their dialect or whatever. I mean, they could pick the enemy out real quickly like that. But I like the sentence where it said he could not frame to pronounce it. And I'm concerned about, I hear so many homeschoolers, some of the people that have come through here as missionaries, and they teach their kids at home, and a number of the children don't speak properly. They need some speech therapy. And, you know, in schools you can get that sort of a thing. But in homeschooling, for years it's cute, but after a while it's not really supposed to be cute. And I've always been concerned about that, because I've heard older kids, not the little kids, they're cute and they do their little thing, but I've heard teenagers and, you know, older kids not have any clear speech at all. And that has always bothered me. Can somebody help these kids? And it's not my thing. I know I may have told this years and years ago. My last quarter of my last year in college, I was going to graduate and be a teacher. And I had to go to a speech therapist. And I had to read a couple little doohickeys to this person. And because of my T structure and da-da-da-da, I didn't say my S's right. And I heard him sitting there talking about, well, he doesn't pronounce his S's correctly. Do we pass him on? Can he graduate? And I was sitting there thinking, can I graduate? What? 4 years, 3 years and three quarters, and I've got one more thing to take, and they're going to say I can't teach because I can't say my S's? Why didn't they tell me that when I was a freshman? Because I could have, well, I couldn't have done anything else, but I just have never forgotten the fear that I had sitting there thinking, my S is going to stop me from teaching. S, S, S. How do I say an S? S, S. I can't do it. Shh. It's not a shoot sound, but it's a framing thing. You know, and I'm concerned about homeschooling children that grow up and they don't have anybody that's taught, for those that needed it, a framing your words. And a lot of it, I mentioned that to somebody the other day, and they said, well, they understand that now, they see that. And a lot of it's because they don't have any groups to speak in front of. They don't have much they hear from people, and it's just a talking thing, and it's being around thing as they grow up, and they don't hear that sort of a thing. So anyway, that's just there it is, an opportunity for me to drop on us and anybody out there that listens that have homeschools. Be aware of how your children are speaking. The framing of the words. I mean, you actually have to frame, I guess, I'm not good at this, but you have to frame your mouth to say certain letters and all that stuff. And be aware of that when you're teaching your children. Because I've heard the older kids, and it's sad. You've heard them too, and it's sad to hear that at the older kid level. Okay, chapter 13. So enough of that. That's enough of my concern kind of stuff. It's like probably none of my business, but there it is. And we're just going to read through, we're just going to read from chapter 13 to 16 here. Including 16. A lot of reading. Throw in a few comments, maybe smile once or twice, or pick up on something. But I think the story of Samson is an amazing story. Amen. It really is. And what you get out of that is, I get, you know, that's the Old Testament. What you get out of it is what God's going to show you. But I got some thoughts coming up there, and I get paid the big bucks to throw things out, so I will. And you have to listen. You know, if you don't like it, I guess you can leave or I can die. Yeah, is that how that goes? Why is my face matching my shirt? Because I tend to think I'm dying, but, you know, oh well. Yeah, it's not green, yeah. Not going green. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? We ought to just dim the lights and put up the rocking chair and just sit here. And kids, we're going to read to you Samson today. I know you've read it already. You heard? Yeah, we'll do it again. My style. Are you ready? You ready, Zach? Samson, big, strong guy. Here we go. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. See, people think God does that today. They deliver. He'll deliver us into our enemy. Anyway. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. Manoah Zorah. I like that. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Okay? Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. So here's a biblical example of when you're pregnant, how you take care of yourself, you know, in a way. For lo, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. There's your reason for that, by the way. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then you got to picture all this stuff, right? Just see this taking place. Then the woman came, and first of all, she believed this already. So that's good. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was. Neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Can you imagine your wife coming home and saying, I just picture that. The man of God. We know what that means today, out on this world. Her pastor came up and said, hey, you're pregnant. Now we know what's going on today. They changed that a little bit. Hey, the pastor... Anyway, don't go there. But that's happening. But anyway. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Now, do you remember those days? You're having your first child or one of your children, and you want to know what God would have you do with that child. That's a marvelous question that guy asked. What would you have me do for this child? And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife. Kind of curious why she was in the field and he wasn't, but, you know, oh well. And went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? You know, what are we going to do with this kid? Wouldn't it be nice if you could order a child? Yeah. Well, let's see, I'd like mine to be about, you know, and just here's my little mustard and ketchup on the side and all that kind of stuff. But can't do that, but that's, we know what that means there. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer burnt offerings, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was the angel of the Lord. Who would you think he would be? You know, some guy just pops up like that. Twice a day is the Old Testament. You know, really, just strange days. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. Now you got a picture of this. You got this, Danica? Kaylin? Get a picture of what's going to happen here. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. That's got to be an exciting thing to see. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. Sure. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear unto Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We, typical guy here, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. You see that there? The guy just goes into this panic mode because he has no clue. And the wife's already got this thing figured out. Well, of course he would have killed us. If he's going to kill us, he would have killed us. Wouldn't play this game. It's just something I see there. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Okay, we'll see the Spirit of the Lord come and go here. That's Old Testament stuff, by the way. Chapter 14, you with us, kids? This is a good story. Can you imagine? Flame come up out of that rock, and the guy gets... Wow! See what science fiction does to us on our movies and stuff? Kids nowadays, well, yeah, I've seen that. I see that a lot on Star Wars, and you can make it happen on your games and stuff. So, young people, if they actually were to see something, hear something like this, just like, you know, whatever. But us oldies, you know, from the 50s and the 60s, or the elderly ones, yes. We've seen this happen before, but it's mostly been in the kitchen and nobody got in the flames and went up unless you said something about it. But anyway. Or we tried to cook. Us guys tried to cook something. Sometimes we get some flame going up to heaven. Chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Oh, kind of skipped the dating process. You know, whatever. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and mother and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And we'll see how that responds in a few verses here. So it takes care of that little bit. That's just an interesting thing right there. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. That's a big, big, important thing. Because otherwise you can't do what he's about to do.
Amen.
You got to have the Spirit of God there with you. Okay, Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. He just killed that little critter. Just tore it up. Yeah, a lion. Remember that picture the other day you showed me? The mountain lion thing? Was that you that showed me the great big thing? Just tear that thing up, no big deal. Forget the gun. Just grab them and tear them up. And he went down and talked with the woman. And she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. That had to be a mess. The Bible doesn't mention all the details, but that had been a mess. And came to his father and mother. They didn't pick up on this? Your kid's playing in a dead lion thing with bees and honey? You're not going to figure this out, parents. And he gave them and they did eat. Okay. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. It came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Dang. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. Well, but if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. Okay, here's the riddle. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. There's your riddle. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife. Now, why do they go to the wife here? They go right to the wife. They know the weak, you know, this and that and that. Entice thy husband that he may declare to us the riddle. Lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, here we go. These next couple of verses are just something. She wept before him, so already we're crumbling. And said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. Just nagged the guy to death with the tears and the whole thing. 7 days, you're going to give in. And what does she instantly go tell these guys? And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if he had not plowed as my heifer, he had not found out my riddle. I just had to think on this one. There's no way this is referring to his wife.
Yeah.
No. It can't be. I'm going to call his wife a cow. I mean, you know, or a heifer. I looked up heifer. It's all having to do with a cow. I mean, there's no other Greek application. It has to be that they're out there in the woods and they run across this thing because they're out there in the cow field. He cannot be referring to his wife as his heifer. So don't go there. You just don't even be laughing so much because your wives are not laughing right now. I want you guys to know that. Yeah. No. He's out there in the cow field and he's playing with his guy's cow, I guess, and he runs across this whole thing and it makes sense to him now. I can't imagine. And I've looked around for, there's no other clue in here. Is that his wife? Call him a heifer? Wow. What is a heifer? Okay, but it's still a cow, right? It's got the four things in it. It's a moo. Is it a moo? Okay, is it a moo? Does it moo? It's a cow. I know, but if they got the, they look like cows and they stand in a cow field, they are a cow. South Dakota here, city, you know, right? Calf cow, heifer, it's a cow. I mean, it's a cow. After his kind, yes, it's a moo. It's a moo moo. You know? Look at dad, it's a moo moo. Well, yeah, it's got to be something like that. I mean, there's no...
This... them in relating to what he had already told her, she told him.
Yeah, so yeah, of course there has to be something.
Listen to what he said.
And don't any of you kids ever say, Mama. don't even do that. Because... you've never seen a heifer respond like that. One will respond. Okay. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and that happens. That's important. And he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. Now, what did these 30 guys have anything to do with this whole thing? They're just out there being 30 guys. Samson makes a deal, loses on the deal, has to go kill them to get their stuff. What do these guys have anything? Life is not fair. It's just not fair. And the Spirit of God is in this thing totally. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Wow. Chapter 15. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with the kids, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Oh, she's a heifer too, I guess. Anyway. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. What a dad. You know, what a dad. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure, which goes back to 14:3 about why the Philistine woman and all that kind of stuff. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes. Can you catch one fox? He caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. What a fire. All these foxes tied together and flaming fox. Boy, that's something else. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? Which is strange. It was a big thing to get 300 foxes, light them on fire, by the time, and they still don't know who did this. Crimes have to take place quickly. This had to take a while. But anyway, whatever. And they answered Samson, the son-in-law, and they answered Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And that's a good response. That'll take care of them. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. So they had to go play a little ball game after this whole thing. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson, as we come up to do him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah, went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? The brethren, aren't they just good people? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. Okay. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two cords, and brought him up from the rock. And when he came into Lehi, unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosened from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. This is quite a guy. But every time he had this burst of power is the Spirit of God. So you got to know that. Don't go home and you kids don't do this at home. Those kind of disclaimers you get on these things. 17, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi. Now, here we go. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Whine, whine, whine. Right away. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakor, which is in Lehi to this day. Mormons. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Quite a deal. Just amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Here we go, chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza, and there was an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they will come, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, took the door, this is, picture this now, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And they think they're going to get this guy? They've got to go to where they got to go to get him. Got to go to the thing. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Downhill from here on. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. There it is again, entice. Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. And by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Sure. Then he talks. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Is your wife asked you that yet? By the way, honey, what is your weakest point? What can I do to... You know, and Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs, he had to go green first time, 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. You would think he already would realize this is not the right kind of wife to have here. But, you know. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. I mean, there it is. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. You can figure out his strength thing. Now why he's listening to her anymore, I don't understand this. But oh well, I guess we do understand it. It's a guy thing, you know. You see, it's a guy thing. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Yes, but you tied me up and gave me over to the enemy. But he didn't. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith. And he's probably thinking, oh boy, the rope, here we go. And said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off his arms like a thread. Now, maybe we should do that. Did we ever do that? I think we did it with Arrow. Maybe we did it with somebody here a while ago. Tie a kid up with a string or two, and it just took one thread, poof, no big deal. But you took all those threads, wrapped them around, and it was Arrow. And he couldn't get out, even though it was just a thread. Kind of a thing. A little illustration there, but anyway, just thought of that. Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web. And she fastened it with a pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Now she turns it on even more now. Here we go. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee? That's the big one. You know, that's the big one. When thine heart is not with me. Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me where in thy great strength lieth. Now, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. What a description of nagging. That's marvelous. Pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Oh. Then he told her all his heart, there you go, and saith unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. They knew this was the one. They brought the money, you know. Now here we go. And she made him sleep upon her knees. Ah, the old cuddle. Just going to get him. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. This guy's a hard sleeper. Isn't he? Yeah. Of course, he was just in heaven right then. Just having a great time. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep. Either that or she's got a pretty powerful voice. Because if he can't wake up when he's having his hair cut, and she can wake him up, She must be a bellower. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Didn't he know his hair was gone? And if he knew that there was strength because of the hair thing, and which is why guys say things, they're cool with the long hair. Because I did with the long. I look at my pictures now, and it's like, oh. But they get the strength out of that thing, and they were getting this from. But he didn't know it when he woke up. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Put out your eyes. Wouldn't that just be an awful thing? Just put out your eyes. Man. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And it does happen to some. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Twice to God. Took three and four times. You know, really, but they don't care. They just ignore that. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, they may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. So much for sports. Anyway. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Death was just a common thing. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel for 20 years. Marvelous. I don't know. You can't talk about it. You just had to read it. And there's so much in there. What's it there to you? Nothing, but what's there for you? All sorts of stuff's in there for you. And you can't learn about Samson. But it had to be God that would do that to him. Give him the power to do that. It's not in the head, John. It's not in the hair. It's in the power of God. That's where it's at. Anyway.
We'll just break for a couple minutes and we'll see you upstairs.